Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This was a question that was placed in our box back there. And the question that exists is, what does another Jesus mean in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4? And it says in verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." So this is a passage we've kind of looked at when we were going through the book of 2 Corinthians. We didn't get too much in detail about this. But it's good to understand what the Lord is talking about when he says another. And we've got three things in here: another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. And we're going to talk a little bit about those anothers, if you will, and what those are, and specifically in regards to what is another Jesus. But before we do that, let's go ahead and pray. We'll get started. Brother Mike Perry, would you open us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. So what is another Jesus? We're going to take a look at this kind of in a small, simple three-point outline about what this is and pretty much identifying and avoiding counterfeits. And this is really what Paul is getting at in this chapter. When you think at the church at Corinth, the church at Corinth was a very carnal church. They were a fleshly church. They had a lot of divisions. They had a lot of, people aligning with one person over another person. And he said, each one of you's got a doctrine. Each one of you's got this. Each one of you's got that. They have all these different things that they were aligning with and not necessarily aligning with the things of Scripture. And Paul's fear was, is that they were going to have some tolerance with individuals that were going to come and preach another Jesus to them. Preach another gospel. Preach another spirit. Now, he was already dealing with this with some other churches where that was happening. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But as we think about what he's talking about in this specific passage, he is talking about a counterfeit Christ. And we know that there are a lot of counterfeits out there. The devil himself is a counterfeiter. He will take something that is of God and he will alter it with just enough sin that it will be sin, but he will also incorporate truth into that so that it looks good and is deceitful. And the devil is a deceiver. He's always been a deceiver. He was a deceiver in the garden and he continues to be a deceiver today. And we fall for it, because we ourselves sometimes are deceivers. We see that our heart is desperately wicked, right? It's deceitful in that we sometimes tell ourselves our own lies that we believe, knowing that they're completely false. And we deceive ourselves. We know that the devil deceives. He's deceived a lot of people in this world today. He deceives them with all sorts of things. We'll talk a little bit about that and what he deceives. But what we're looking at specifically in this passage is what Paul is talking about, which is identifying somebody that is not Jesus. Identifying somebody that comes in and starts preaching something that is not Jesus. And we've got a lot of that today. And I don't want to say that this is a new thing, because obviously Paul's dealing with it back here. But we know that we can see a lot more about it. Because there's this wonderful thing called YouTube. Anybody heard of it? Yeah. And you can find just about anything you want on YouTube. Whatever doctrine you want to find, I guarantee you there is something there that will support it. If you take a look at anything else, whether you're on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or whatever it may be, you're going to find something that is going to preach another Jesus, another gospel, or they're going to talk about another spirit that is not the Holy Spirit. And as we identify these things, I want you to take down a look a little bit further in the same chapter. And if you take a look here at verse 13, He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And here he is, he's warning a church that is not very deep in their spiritual life. They're not walking with Christ the way they should be. They were doing some things right, but I will tell you that that becomes one of the most dangerous things that you can have in your life, is where you're just starting to do those things that are right, and the devil comes along and puts something in there that seems almost right. It seems like a good thing, but it's not. Because it's not what God would have, and it's not what God would clearly identify as his will. So when we think about another Jesus, and what this means, is it means it's a counterfeit. It's another counterfeit of Christ, it's another counterfeit of Jesus. And Paul here is warning that it is possible to hear the name Jesus and not be hearing truth about Jesus Christ of the Bible, who is our Lord and Savior. There is a church that calls themselves Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. Well, the Jesus that they preach is not the same Jesus that we believe. They believe that he was once a man that became a God, that died for us. And that one day you too will be just like Jesus. And if you are a good enough Christian, and I hate to use the word Christian, but that's how they phrase it, that you one day will have a world that you can populate with spirit babies, and if you need to, you can die for their sins too. And you can be a Jesus just like Jesus is. You can be a God. Genesis 3 comes to mind. And that is another Jesus. That's one example of something that we can see that Paul is warning the church at Corinth about. And if you think about it, this is right after Jesus Christ has been here on earth. It is not that far along after the events of the crucifixion and the resurrection and his ascension. This is not that far removed. A few decades at the most. And already somebody is talking about another Jesus that exists, that is not the Jesus that we know, that is not the Jesus that is our Savior. And he warns them about this. And because a counterfeit can use the right name. Because a counterfeit will use the right lingo, will use the right buzzwords, will use everything that sounds like it's good. But there is something about it that when you dig into it, you find is very deceitful and very dangerous. And not everyone that speaks about Jesus is speaking about the biblical Christ that we know, that we love, that died on the cross for our sins. Turn in your Bibles over to the book of Matthew. Jesus warns himself that these individuals were going to show up. Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, and in verse 3, we have the disciples here asking a question. And it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" So they're already asking some questions about this. And what does Jesus say in verse 4? And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." So the very first thing that he warns about when it comes to getting closer to the second coming, closer to the end of this world as we know it, is what? Be careful about deception. Be careful about deception. And why is that? Because he said in verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." You know, there are people around today that declare themselves Jesus Christ. One of the things I watch is I watch some body cam footage every now and then, just to kind of see how officers respond. And, you know, part of it has to do with some of the stuff I do with the city and the legal, also things about law enforcement that interest me, and also from like tactical perspectives. But there was one guy, he was going on and on and on and on and on and raving that he was Jesus Christ. At the same time, he was flinging himself down on the floor and flopping around like he was possessed, which I'm pretty sure he was. And you're like, well, it might be drug-induced. Well, it might be a drug-induced possession, but it was very clear there was something not right with that man. Now, somebody may look at that and go, well, obviously. Obviously. But how many people have been deceived in that? How many of you remember the Moonies? Yep. They were always there in the airport, weren't they? Yeah. And they were there to hand out their little pamphlets and hand out their stuff and do their little thing, right? And the Moonies come from a Korean guy by the name of last name Moon. I can't remember his first name now. Sung Young. Sung Young. Okay, there we go. And interestingly enough, his son is the owner of some of the largest firearms manufacturers in the United States, interestingly. But that being said, he declared himself Christ. And that's what his Moonies would do, is they would declare unto you that he is Jesus Christ. He just arbitrarily elected himself that. I don't think that he was, deceived in his own mind. I think he knows exactly or knew exactly what he was doing. I don't know if he's passed yet, but he was doing it for one thing. It's called money. Just like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they started by a guy named Russell as a money-making scam. But it is still a religion today. Same thing with Christian Science. Scientology, those guys. L. Ron Hubbard. He started that as a money-making scam. He actually told his friend, I bet you I can make a religion and get people to follow it and give me money. And he said, no, you can't. And he said, watch me. And he put out a book called Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard. And guess what? People are still buying that book today. Spending millions. And him and his family were raking in millions of dollars. This is a scam. But again, it preaches something that is false. Jesus Christ warns of this. You take a look at what he says further on in the chapter and in verse 23. In verse 23, he says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know, this is talking about the tribulation period, and I guarantee you, one of the key important things about being in the tribulation is going to be the amount of deceit that is coming, that is going to pull those that do not know the Word of God away from it to something else. We have that going on today, and that is going to even ramp up even further in the tribulation period, the Great Tribulation, when you're dealing with the nation of Israel. Because the devil does not want any of the Israelites to trust Christ as their Savior. But we know there will be a remnant that does. But we're going to see, I mean, we see here that these things that Christ is warning about, that Paul is warning about, is that there's going to be those that are counterfeit Christ. They're going to present them, you know, present it as Christ. We have that today. How many of you have heard about Jesus Christ that is a great teacher? He's a great teacher, but he's not God manifest in the flesh. There's a lot of people that say that. Muslims will say that. They will talk about Jesus Christ, but they will not talk about him as God. We've heard, again, kind of in the same vein, that Jesus Christ was just a great prophet. But he was not the eternal Son of God. He's just another one, just like Isaiah and Elijah and Moses and all the rest. There are some that will talk about a counterfeit Christ that only presents him as a good example, but not the Savior. Now, Christ is the perfect example for us, amen? But he's more than an example. He's the Savior. Now, notice what each one of those does. One is going to discount that he is God manifest in the flesh. One is going to discount that he is the eternal Son of God. One is going to discount that he is the Savior. Now, they're going to talk about good things, and we know that he was obviously a very great teacher. And we know that he made very, very distinct prophecies. And we know very clearly that he set a great example. And they will use something that is true about Jesus Christ, but then say that this part isn't true, that the Bible says he is. Another one would be that he's a religious leader. But he's not the only mediator. Roman Catholic Church teaches that. Your priest can be your mediator. Well, the Bible says that there's only one mediator between man and God, and who is that? That's him, Jesus Christ alone. Amen. I'm not your mediator between God and you. That no. I will politely and respectfully decline and then run. I'm not putting myself in that position at all. But Jesus Christ is there, and he does that. We talked about that as one of his names that we when we went through that recently. There will be those that very clearly that we see today that they're talking about is a Jesus that accepts every person regardless of their repentance. That he will accept you with your sin. No, you got to leave your sin at the cross. You don't come to him with your sin and keep sinning. You don't come to him and say, I want you to be my Savior, but I'm unwilling to let go of my sin. That's not salvation. We live in a day and age where there's the amount of, as we've talked about before, it was called the Emergent Church, and then they changed their name to the Progressive Church, and then they changed their name to the Progressive Christianity Group, and they keep changing their names because they don't want to be affiliated and nailed down with certain things, and they have all these different people, one of which, a guy, his name was Ron Bell, and he was out there, or Rob Bell, excuse me, that was out there talking about things, and he said in his book, Love Wins, that in the end, everybody's going to get saved. Nobody's going to go to hell. Everybody's going to stand in front of Jesus Christ and he's going to let everybody in because he's going to feel bad for everybody, including the devil. And they're all going to realize, oh, he's Jesus at that point in time. And then everybody will be saved. I don't know about you, but I've read the last book of the Bible and I've read the last few chapters and it doesn't end like that. Jesus Christ himself in the book of Matthew says it doesn't end like that. And Luke doesn't end like that. There's a very, very, very real hell, and there's a very, very real lake of fire that people who are not trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are going to go to. And they will burn there for eternity because of their sin that has condemned them. And God being a just judge is that's where he will send people. Because they've chosen that over an eternity with him. That's their decision. That's what they've decided. And they don't like that because they don't want to be responsible for their own decisions and their own choices. So the end result is they say, hey, I want to be able to live like the devil and sin as much as I want, and then in the end, just be comforted by the fact that I'm going to be received. That is a false gospel. That is not the Jesus whom we speak of in the Bible. They talk about a Jesus who saves by faith plus your works. Not by what he did on the cross. You know, what he did, they'll say, oh yeah, I acknowledge what he did on the cross is a great thing. But you know, you still, and before you come to the cross, you got to get your life right. You got to get your act together. I've had people tell me, oh yeah, you know, I know I should come to church, but you know, I'm just waiting until I, you know, get this sin taken care of. No, come to church with your sin and get it taken care of, and we'll help you as the body of Christ with that. But you got to come to Jesus with that sin and have him deal with it. You don't get yourself clean before, you know, that's not how it works. Again, you don't get yourself better before you go to the hospital. Why do you go to the hospital? Why do you call 911? Why do you take a fun drive with paramedics and EMTs? Why do you enjoy that? Because you're not going to sit there and say, "Hey, wait! Before I get on this, I want to get better first." As you're bleeding out. No. You get it taken care of at the cross with Jesus Christ. And people are saying, well, there's got to be a plus something. I have to do something. No, you don't, because there is nothing that you can do. It is only by the faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And we've talked about many verses that say that and show that and clearly outline that. But these are all things that are different. There are another Jesus. And some will even talk about a Jesus that is different from the Christ that is revealed in Scripture. And if he is different than the Christ that is revealed in here, and this is why it is important to know this book and know God from this book and not from someone else. Because this will show you who Jesus really is. This will show you that he is God himself. Anybody that preaches anything different, that's another Jesus. That's another Jesus. And that's why Paul was like, you know what? You guys are probably going to bear that guy. You guys are probably going to just be allow him to do what he's going to do. And we shouldn't. We shouldn't listen to those things. You know, when it comes to we talk about the true Jesus, and I hate to even put that, you know, as there, but Jesus Christ as whom he is in Scripture, it has to be the Christ that is revealed in Scripture. In John 1, verse 1, it talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what does that mean? Jesus Christ is God. He's the Word that was made flesh in verse 14, where it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's talking about Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, and in verse 6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are people that will say, well, Jesus Christ is just one of the ways. There was a famous singer that just recently passed away, and that was one of the things that she said. Well, there's many ways to get into heaven. That kind of makes me question about whether or not she was saved. Yeah. And somebody's going to argue, well, I don't. Okay, you know, I'm just going to say that's another Jesus that's getting preached. We have to be very careful and discerning about that. We have to be very careful about what people say. And if they're saying there's another way, I was witnessing to a man one time and I quoted this verse and I said, the Bible even goes further and Jesus Christ says, he is the door. And he goes, well, you know, there's always a back door. I'm like, so let me ask you this question. If somebody tries to come in through the back door and not your front door, and you said, come through the front door, what's going to happen if they come through the back door? And he says, well, I'd probably let them in. I'm like, are you sure about that? With your family in there? And he's uninvited? And he thinks about it for a moment and he goes, well, I said, exactly. I said, you're either calling 911 or you're going to deal with it yourself and then call 911. Because a person that comes in any other way is called a thief and a robber. Right. According to Christ. He's like, well, I'm pretty sure there's got to be another way in. Well, Jesus said there's only one. So are we going to argue with him, or are we going to kind of come up with something that we think is true when we know what truth is? So when we look at this identifying question, and this is really where we have to look at, does the Jesus being preached match the Jesus that is in the Bible? And if the answer is no, then that's another Jesus. And it's not the one that we put our faith and trust in. And look, you know, we don't judge a message based upon how many times or even if they mention the name Jesus. And in today's day and age, just because somebody mentions Jesus on TikTok, automatically they're a Christian. We got to be careful with that. We can't judge a message by whether it mentions Jesus Christ or not. The way we are supposed to judge it according to Scripture is whether it teaches the truth about Jesus Christ or not. And if it doesn't teach the truth about Jesus Christ, then we have a problem. And I'll get to this verse in just a moment. But just to kind of show you that Paul is also dealing with this with another church, turn to the book of Galatians in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Because when we talk about the gospel, we talk about the gospel of who? The gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't talk about the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. That's something different, but we're talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Paul is talking about the gospel, that is the gospel that he is referring to. The gospel of Jesus Christ as we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. So in Galatians chapter 1, Paul is dealing with false doctrine that has already crept into this church at Galatia that had to do with Judaizers that were trying to bring in the law again, saying you had to keep the law in order to be saved. Yes, you can you receive Jesus Christ, but you also have to keep the law. Israel couldn't even keep the law. Peter says, how can we expect the Gentiles to keep the law when we couldn't even keep it and it was given to us? I like how Peter's just like up front with this. He's like, we can't ask them to do that. They can't do it. We can't do it. So we see here, so not only is he warning the church at Corinth, but he's also warning them, and he warns them about another gospel in the last part of the verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 11. But he also warns them here in this passage in verse 6. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. These are people that are born saved again, and then all of a sudden they're believing something very different. And in verse 7, he says, which is not another. And he's clarifying this, saying, look, there is another gospel, but it's really not another in that it is in alignment with the truth. So essentially, you have Jesus Christ, or you have a false Christ. You have the gospel, or you have a false gospel. One of the other. And this is what he's saying. He says, which is not another, but there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That word pervert. Perversion. When we start thinking about that word, we think about somebody that is taking something that was pure and innocent and true and has done something evil with it. That's the mindset of what we think about when we think of those words. And this is the same thing where Paul is saying, look, there are those that are coming along, and not only are they, you know, being deceitful, but they're also perverting something. And we don't want to be associated with perversion. Perversion is not truth. Perversion is against the Lord and against what the Lord has ordained in His Word. And Paul's words, I mean, there's something here where he's saying, look, this is not truly a gospel at all. We don't even want to call it a gospel because a gospel is a good news, right? And we get down to the root of what it means, you know, the word gospel, talking about some good news and some good things, a good message, a message that is truthful. And he's saying, look, it's not really even another gospel. We can't even call it a gospel per se, but we're going to use that term just for the sake of understanding. And he's saying it's not a gospel because it's really not good news. Could you imagine? Let me ask you this. Would it be good news if all of a sudden you found out you had to keep the Mosaic Law right now? How many of you would have some serious questions? Pork is off the menu. No bacon. No shrimp. Yeah, you're like, hold on a second. All sorts of things. You'd have to start wearing blue sewn into the hem of all of your garments. Guys, time to bust out the skirts. You're like, wait a second, hold on. Yeah. We're all wearing kilts tomorrow. No, we're not. You get what I'm saying is all of a sudden there would be some very serious things. I wouldn't call that good news. I would call that very bad news. Because we would have a hard time following those things. We would have a hard time doing those things. Could you imagine doing sacrifices here in the state of Washington? I think PETA would probably be at our doorstep, protesting constantly. We would have everybody here in an uproar. We'd have Fish and Game. We would have the FDA. I mean, we'd have some trouble. And that's why he says, this is troubling to you. This is not beneficial to you. This is troubling to you, Church at Galatia. And we begin to realize that the true gospel, and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and see there where it identifies in 1 Corinthians 15 what the true gospel is. Paul outlines it for us, what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. In verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. This is why it's important about who Jesus is and the gospel that you believe. Because that is your foundation. That is your foundation for living. In verse 2, it says, by which also ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Saying, look, I want you to go back and I want you to think about this. This is what I've taught you. This is what you've believed. Unless you're just saying you believed and you really didn't. But in verse 3, he says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. That is key. If Christ did not die for our sins, we are dying in our sins. Okay? If that part is removed from the gospel, you're removing Jesus from the gospel. Okay? The next one. And he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There are some people that say, well, yes, we do recognize that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was buried. But I don't think he rose again. Well, then we are still doomed. Because now there's no power over death and hell and sin. And I am damned in my own sins and I am going to die in a devil's hell. Forever. I can't remove any of these elements. Otherwise, it's not a gospel. It's no longer good news. It continues on here. It says in verse 5, and was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. And he says, look, it's all been testified. We have multiple witnesses that say this is true. And here we have the gospel of Jesus Christ clearly identified in these passages that he died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day. Because guess what? Is salvation found in church membership? You know, I will say this. As long as I'm pastor of a church, I'm never going to have anybody sign something about membership. Because a lot of times people get confused about church membership and salvation. And I want to make sure that the emphasis is not on church membership, because if you're saved, you're in the body of Christ. Amen. You are part of the body of Christ. You are a member of the body of Christ. Amen? I don't think they were signing membership documents in the book of 1 Corinthians. Or Galatians. Well, maybe the Judaizers are trying to have them do that. I don't know. But look, salvation isn't found in church membership. Salvation isn't found in baptism. Baptism is a picture of something, but if you're baptized, that's not going to save you. It always makes me nervous when you ask somebody's testimony and before they say, yes, I was saved at such and such age and my parents led me to the Lord, or a Sunday school teacher led me to the Lord, or something like that. But when they say, oh, yeah, are you, you know, saved? You know, are on your way to heaven? And they go, oh, yeah, I was baptized. I know a lot of people that have been baptized that are not saved. You got to be very careful with that. Got to be very careful with that. Somebody's going to get messed up. Salvation is not found in good works, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It's not of works that we have done. It's not works of our righteousness that he says over there to Titus. It's not in religious rituals. I don't know about you. I don't like religious rituals. I mean, we get too stuck in some tradition or something like that, it starts giving me the heebie-jeebies. I'm just like, no, let's switch it up. And then everybody's like, why are we doing that? Because we should. You get stuck in those things and somebody automatically thinks that's holiness. Somebody can be thinking that that's the case. I mean, there's a lot of religious rituals in Greek Orthodox, Roman Catholic. Thank you. I'll get it out one way or shape or form. Catholicism. There's a lot of it in the Anglican Church, and there's a lot of it in the Episcopalian Church. There's a lot of it in the Lutheran Church today. There's a lot of things that are in the Methodist Church, and they talk about Jesus all the time, but it is not the Jesus that we believe. It used to be that a Methodist could preach, and you would get convicted of your sins, and they would preach Christ. Right. Now they're preaching who knows what. I've seen some today and it just make me cringe, because that's not preaching Jesus Christ. You can't keep the law. Salvation's not of that. And look, salvation isn't your personal morality either. Why? Because sometimes people's morals are different than yours. What do you do with a guy who thinks that it is morally right to take the life of another person because they think that person is deserving of death, outside of being convicted of law? Vigilantism. Look, I'm not trying to be a prophet, but mark my words, you're going to see a rise of vigilantism before this is all said and done. Because there are going to be people that are going to get sick and tired of sin, and they're going to take law into their own hands, and they're going to start doing stuff that they shouldn't. We haven't been called to that. Personal morality. Look, all of those things, by the way, have the proper place in Christian life. Church membership does, you know, say in the form of like attending church, coming to a church, having a consistency in attending church, baptism, good works, those are things that we're ordained unto. Religious rituals, not so much, but there are traditions that Paul does talk about that are good as long as they're biblically founded. Keeping certain elements of the law, there are certain things in the law that are very moral that we should not do. Ten commandments. Commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. That's still a good commandment, amen? We should probably keep that one, right? Okay, let me go back to my proverbial one. Is it good to rob a bank?
No.
No, okay. It says thou shalt not steal, right?
No.
It's still good to do that. So if I rob a bank, I have done what? I've sinned. I'm guilty. That's still applicable today. So the law has some applicability in that regard. There are all things that are there that we can see that have a part of it, but none of those are going to save the soul. None of those are going to save the soul. And I quoted those two verses over there in Ephesians, and I quoted Titus chapter 3, verse 5, which talks about not works of our righteousness that saves us. So a false gospel can be something that adds something to Christ, which again is more of another part. It in effect says something of the nature that Christ is necessary, but he is not enough. I've had people tell me that when I've been soul winning. And you go and you knock on the door and you're having a conversation with them and you ask them about it. And they're like, oh, yeah, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and everything. But I believe that, you know, that's good, but there's still stuff that I have to do. No, there isn't. You don't have to do anything. That's the good news. But the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, you're complete in him. If you're saved, born again child of God, you are complete in him. You don't have to add anything. He is enough. He's enough. Jesus Christ himself declared in John chapter 19, verse 30, said, it is finished. Didn't say, I've done as much as I can do, now you need to do the next part. Well, he said, it is finished. It is finished. So again, part of the, you know, as we think about this and identify this, is does, you know, another gospel, does that message teach salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ? If it does not, and it adds something to Jesus Christ, and it adds something to God's plan of salvation, then it is another gospel. It's not really even a gospel at that point. So what do we have to do? We have to be careful to make sure that nothing is getting added to the work of Christ for salvation. Otherwise, it becomes a perversion of the gospel. It becomes a perversion of the gospel. So there are certain things that we have to do. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. And I want you to see this here. And we saw where he did say something of the nature that says another spirit. And I will say this, there are other spirits out there that will mislead you. Now, I'm not going to try to get creepy about this, but we do know that there is spiritual warfare out there. Amen? Our enemy is called principalities, powers, spiritual darkness, you know, all of that stuff that we find in Ephesians chapter 6. That is the stuff that we combat on a day-to-day basis. In your Christian life, that's the stuff you're going to combat, which is why it is important that you do nothing to allow another spirit to start speaking with you or influencing you, whether it is the spirit of man or the spirit of a devil or whatever spirit it is. If it's not the Holy Spirit that has the influence in your life, you need to tell it to shut up. And yes, at that point in time, you do have the right to stop your ears and sit there and go, la, 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 I'm not hearing you. If your spouse sees you doing that, then they probably need to pray for you right then and there. But sometimes we listen to our own spirit over God's. That's one of the dangerous ones. That's one of the dangerous ones. But what do we find here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1? He says, beloved, believe not every spirit. But what are we supposed to do? Try the spirits. Try the spirits. Put them on trial. Put them on trial. Whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world. Hereby ye know the Spirit of God. And he says, it's really easy to figure it out. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. If it is another Jesus that they are saying, that does not align with what we find in the scriptures, he's saying that's not of God. Don't listen to it. You can throw that out. You should throw it out. There's some people, they read some books and they're like, well, and they'll say something about, what do you think about this in this book? And I'm like, well, that's heresy. Well, what should I do? Burn the book? Get rid of it? You're like, are you for book burning? I wouldn't want to give it to Goodwill and have somebody else read it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I paid good money for it. Well, I don't want to say try to get your money back, because then it'll be put it back on the shelf and somebody else will buy it. Just get rid of it. But I say all of this, that we are to do this. You notice it doesn't say, believe everyone who sounds spiritual. You ever hear some of those people that sound spiritual?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's times that I'll hear something and I'll start listening to it. And I'm like, all right, something seems a little off. And I'm listening. I mean, like, he's getting it. And then all of a sudden, then he just puts that little thing in there. And I'm like, there it is.
Yep.
There it is. There's the deceit. Sometimes, for humor, I'm a sick person. Pray for me. I will read other churches' statements of faith and what they believe. And I read one the other day that I was like, that's just wrong. I showed it to my wife, Amy, and I said, look at that. It didn't say anything. As a matter of fact, do you know what it said? I'm going to paraphrase it. Whatever you believe about God is fine and is welcome in this church. Is that spirit of God?
No.
That's spirit of man or the spirit of the devil? But it isn't of God. It isn't of God. It says we were to try the spirits. Not just believe every single one that comes along. It's something that we actively engage in. And again, we talk about the Bereans over there in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, where it says they received the word with all readiness of mind. I want you to think about it. Turn to Acts 17, and I want you to see the words in black and white on that page. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. And it's talking about the Bereans, and when the gospel and the things that Paul is teaching doctrinally to them, and what did they do? They received the word with all readiness of mind. Now, when they receive the word with readiness of mind, that means that they are ready to engage in spiritual study to check and see if it's right. They didn't even take Paul at face value. What did they check Paul with? The scripture. Don't take what I say at face value. Check it with the scripture. Really, are you going to trust a dyslexic to get it right? Come on. Half the time I can't even say my own name. I mean, he says, with all readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily. Why did they search the scriptures daily? Was it just to make, you know, check, do the check mark and say, yep, I read my Bible today. Yep, I studied today. No, they did that to see what? Whether those things were so. That means that they were familiar with the scriptures. And they looked at the scriptures to see if what Paul was talking about was true. Was that accurate? Look, even when somebody sounds convincing about something, what do? Check the Bible. Check the Bible. When somebody is popular, there's a lot of people out there that are popular. John MacArthur was popular. Charles Spurgeon was popular. There's others that were popular. Peter Ruckman was popular. Did everything they say, was it to be taken as gospel? No. Because there are things that we find in the that they said that were not true. They were not the fourth persons of the Trinity. Just because they're popular does not mean that they were true. What do? Check it with the Bible. And even when somebody claims, and this is the big one in today's day and age, they claim great spiritual experiences. Do you know how hard it is to argue against somebody's experience? Why? Because it's their experience. It's what they had. And they are not going to let go of that for any reason at all. Don't try to argue experience. Don't try to argue experience. Just show them what the Bible says. Well, I experience tongues. Great, let me show you what the Bible says about tongues. Don't argue their experience. Don't say, well, that was of the devil. No, just say, well, what the Bible says and what I read is that tongues are languages that are heard. They're just not known by the person that is hearing them or speaking them. And they go, where is that? Well, let me go over here to Genesis, and then let me go over here to Acts, and let me go over here to 1 Corinthians. And they look at it and they go, well, it's got to be talking about a heavenly language. Well, I don't see a heavenly language. I see everything that was referencing over there in Acts chapter 2. Those were all known languages. Where's the heavenly one? Can you show me that from the Bible? Well, I don't know where it is in the Bible. I just believe it. Oh, okay. You better know where it is in the Bible if you're going to believe it. You got to know where it is in the Bible to believe it. So we have to be very careful with those things. We always check it with the Bible. And again, we read the passage. We know that Satan's a master counterfeiter. He can transform himself into an angel of light. He can transform his workers into apostles and make them look like as they're righteous. So it's always very important for us that we understand this. Does all error always appear evil at first? No. Sometimes it doesn't at all. Sometimes the fruit looks really good. And it looks to be good for food. And you partake of it, and then you give it to someone else. And then your eyes get opened and you go, uh-oh. Sometimes error will contain Scripture. It will use Scripture out of context. It will use the name of Jesus improperly. It will talk about love, but not defining what love is as God. It will talk about spiritual things, but not talk about the right spirit. It will talk about things that appear religious, but not religion as God sees it, which is the pure religion that he identifies over there in the book of James, which is obviously dealing with the fatherless and the widows, but the part that everyone always leaves off is to keep yourself unspotted from the world. There is good religion. It's just the way that God defines it. And sometimes there are going to be things that promise peace and blessing, but never yield it. Never yield it. Satan's counterfeits often look good enough and look like truth enough to deceive those who do not know the truth. And this is why I will, till I'm blue in the face, say, read and study your Bible, folks. Read and study your Bible. You can check commentators after you've read and studied your Bible. But read and study your Bible first. Don't make your first stop the commentator. You could be led astray. You could be led astray. You hold fast to sound doctrine, which is what Paul tells Timothy the Thessalonians over there in chapter 5. He says, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. He makes it clear that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not given by inspiration of man. You again have to make sure that there's no private interpretation that is being given that is outside of the things of God. And again, these are things that even Jude says that we should earnestly contend for, with for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We got to make sure that what we believe and what our faith is in is very clearly in the scriptures, biblically the way it's supposed to be. So again, we come to this question, can a teaching stand under the authority of the Word of God? And if it can't, then it's another gospel, it's another spirit, it's another Jesus. And the best protection against all those counterfeits is to have a very, very deep, intimate knowledge of what is true and genuine from the Word of God. Quick summary. So when we're talking about this, know the true Jesus. Know the true gospel. Know the true Word. Know the true Spirit. I'll close with this. You know, Paul is talking about a danger here that is not merely just rejecting Jesus, but it's receiving another version of Jesus. There are those that will just flat out reject it. And there are those that will come and they will say, well, I believe a different version of Jesus. That one's really dangerous. Really dangerous. Because again, Jesus Christ says over in John chapter 8 and in verse 31 and 32, and you can turn there if you want, it says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what all those others do? They bring you into bondage. So what was going on in Galatia, and that's what was going on in the church at Corinth. They were in bondage. Some people are in bondage to commentators. Some people are in bondage to what they've been taught. Some people are in bondage to what they think in their own heart that is against Scripture, and they can't get past that. But they're in bondage. They're not truly free. The Word of God is what makes men free. So we have to avoid another Jesus. And again, we don't do this about, you know, just... Let me phrase it this way. We avoid deception by knowing the Jesus that is revealed in the Word of God, by trusting His gospel, by listening to His Spirit, and by testing every message against the Scripture. That is what we have to do. Another Jesus is a very dangerous thing to be. To listen to have in our life. So we have to kind of keep that in mind. So what is another Jesus? It's a counterfeit. In Clark County right now, there's a rash of counterfeit $100 bills running around. I don't know if you saw that. Everybody's going to go home and go, oh, I want to test it. Well, go to the bank and they'll test it for you. Okay? But just understand, you might walk away with $100 less. But how do they test it? I know they've got little fancy pens and things like that, but you know what? Somebody that really and truly knows what it is knows what the real one looks like, that they can spot a fake like that. They can spot it just by some of those guys just by running their hands over the bills and going, that one's fake. Or that one's real. The texture, the feel, the ink, the smell, the sound, how it looks, everything. They know down to the iota what it is. Why? Because they don't study the fakes. They study the truth, which is what we have to do. So hopefully that answers the question. But let's go ahead and be dismissed with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for the day that you have given to us. And Lord, I thank you for all those that are here this evening. I thank you for this question, Lord, that engages the brain that you have given us, Lord, in our hearts, and poses those questions to us about what we truly believe and does it match your holy word. And Lord, I thank you for giving us your word, that it does outline what the truth is. And I pray, Lord, that we would cling to that. That we would know that. We would receive the truths that are in it. And Lord, use it in our life to accomplish your will and bring you pleasure and to please you in all things. Lord, I thank you again for this wonderful day that we've had. And pray, Lord, you just continue to use us throughout this week to be a witness and testimony of your truth, your salvation, your gospel to other people that need to hear it. And these things I do ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.